The Bush-era program assessment rating tool, PART, is coming back. The DATA Act needs more attention. The hiring freeze may end up applying to contractors, too. Those are just some of the management high points Congressman Mick Mulvaney offers up during his two-committee marathon nomination hearings earlier this week. He's in line to become the next director of the Office of Management and Budget. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller followed the questions and answers. He joins me now with more. Jason, the return of the PART tool, let's go over a little history there, because that disappeared with the advent of the Obama administration.
It's only been 8 years, Tom. You don't remember the PART tool?
I remember, but, you know, there might be some new listeners since
then.
There
may be a few. So, as you mentioned, the program assessment rating tool is something that the Bush administration did, measuring certain things across government, government-wide initiatives, very similar to the Obama administration's idea of cross-agency priority goals. These focus on IT, acquisition. It also focused on areas of specific programs and measured the effectiveness and the efficiency of these programs and then made decisions based on that data. It looked at, for instance, Tom, does it need more money? Does it need less money? Should it be ended? Does it need more people, fewer people? How should we turn it to make it better? And it was definitely something that agencies loved to hate and hated to love. But, you know, I think a lot of people, generally speaking, thought it was a good tool, a good step toward what the Obama administration picked up, which was evidence-based policymaking. And, you know, basically what, you know, Congressman Mulvaney is talking about is saying, yes, this is something I am looking at. Qualitative data is important. Listen to this exchange between former OMB director and now Senator Rob Portman and Mulvaney about the PART.
It took a lot of time. Not everybody loved it. Some of the career people thought it was too time-consuming. It was an enormous undertaking. But this tool, having this program assessment rating tool, really helped to force us to dig more deeply into every program and determine if there was a better way of doing things. The result was that in our budget, some programs were increased in their funding that had performed well. Others were reduced or reformed. Others were eliminated altogether. And I just wondered if you had considered undertaking a similar initiative as Director of OMB.
I have, yes, sir. In fact, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about your experience with the PART program. And I think we talked about the importance of adding quantitative data to OMB's analysis. Ending the PART program denied us that management tool. You can't manage exclusively by quantitative data, but you can't. It's very difficult to manage at all with no quantitative data at all. So whether or not we reinstitute PART in its old form, do something similar, I am looking forward to adding to OMB's management tools along the same lines you had when you were there.
Great. Again, we'd love to work with you on that. And you're right, there is some controversy about what you use as your qualitative and quantitative data.
Yep.
But if you don't have any, you don't have anything to help direct these agencies and make tough decisions, because the priorities are going to be difficult in this budget climate.
It is hard to measure if you don't have a yardstick.
That was former OMB director and now Senator Rob Portman and Congressman Mick Mulvaney, the current nominee for OMB director, earlier this week at a Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs hearing. Now, Tom, this idea of bringing PART back is not new. In October, we wrote about the fact that the Heritage Foundation posted a blog calling for the return of PART. They called it PART 2.0. They said with ongoing financial and debt challenges the nation faces, the best idea to deal with budget woes is to cut spending. The best way to cut spending is understanding the data around it.
They never get away from anything but discretionary so-called spending, though, do they?
Correct. A lot of the PART is really looking at those programs and initiatives under the discretionary caps.
The first $1 trillion.
Which is not actually a lot. It's about $500 billion. You know, majority of the budget is
correct,
spent
yes.
on the entitlement, the Social Security, the Medicare, Medicaid, things like that. And
right.
Let's be clear, that also was a major part of this hearing. Though mostly the members
not
asking
in connection
for,
with the PART, though.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Now, Mulvaney said data, generally speaking, beyond the PART, is really the key to his role, to what OMB can do. He says he plans on reinvigorating the federal audit community, particularly agency inspector generals. He believes they can help make the government more effective and efficient because they're bringing this really rich data to decision makers. And then he also talked about the DATA Act, the Digital Accountability and Transparency Act. There's a big deadline coming up in May where agencies put their spending data on an online portal that is publicly accessible. And he too says that is behind. This is Mulvaney again.
In this age of big data, the government has all of this data, but it isn't capable of using it because it can't even talk to itself about the numbers. So, of course, one of the keys is to try and figure out a way to fix the system so that the data that we all have access to is the best possible number. And then simply be honest about those numbers with the president and say, look, Mr. President, this is a hard number. This is real. And if we do this, then that will happen. If we do that, then this will happen. And to try and give him the best possible advice I have and the best possible data that I have. But the first step is going to try and figure out a way to allow the government to function properly so that every single one of us in a decision-making position has good information.
Mick Mulvaney, again, possibly the next OMB director. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, this federal hiring freeze and the government shutdown, which is not connected to the freeze going on now, also came up quite a bit at that hearing. What did you learn about Mulvaney's position on the freeze and the shutdown?
Very much so. Democrats pressed Mulvaney about several of these issues. Again, Mulvaney said he wasn't familiar with the hire and freeze memo, which I have to be honest, Tom, I was a little surprised by. Now, even if he didn't write it or work on it or really know it was coming, I would have suspected he would have at least read the news reports or read the memo once it was posted online.
The memo was much shorter than most of the news reports.
Exactly, which was very thankful for us in the news business. Senator Claire McCaskill, she too also really got on Mulvaney more about this hiring freeze memo. Listen to this exchange.
I can't tell you how many times in this committee room I've asked people who run giant agencies, how much of your workforce is contractors? And they go, I don't know. So there was no freeze on contractors that the president enacted, correct?
I'm not familiar with the freeze that they imposed yesterday. I am familiar with our discussions about the importance of treating them the same if you were going to look at them in that fashion.
Yeah, and you know, this cost-benefit analysis, that door needs to swing both ways. I think there have been analysis of the private workers that has been compared to FTEs, and in many instances, it has not saved us a dime. In fact, it has driven up costs, not driven down costs. So I think it is really on the backs of federal employees to say that, you know, making sure we freeze them. And you know what's going to happen at the VA for those critical medical positions? They're going to hire contractors. So it's not like we are stopping the hiring of workers. So I would implore upon you to explain to the president that if you're going to do a freeze on employees, maybe you ought to freeze contractors first and freeze employees later, because I don't think we've had the kind of oversight on contractors that we have on employees.
You and I have had a chance to discuss this, and I think I agreed with you. This was one of your written questions, and I think the response I gave and what I would hope to be able to advocate to the president is that painting with a broad brush may not be the most effective way in what to deal with the issue. What needs to drive the discussion regarding FTEs versus contractors is the economic consideration. And I agreed with you that there may be circumstances under which it's actually more cost effective and better for the taxpayer to use an FTE versus a contractor. And I welcome further discussions about those
right.
specific examples.
Again, that was Senator Claire McCaskill and Congressman Mulvaney talking about the hire and freeze memo. The other issue that came up quite a bit was the government shutdown from 2013. Mulvaney voted for an appropriations bill that wasn't supported by many members of the Senate or the Obama administration, and that led to the shutdown. Senator Margaret Hassan from New Hampshire asked Mulvaney if he understood the impact of the shutdown and whether he thought it was good policy.
I don't believe that shutdown is a strategy. I don't believe that shutdown is desirable. What I do believe is that sometimes it is an unfortunate result of us not being able to agree. People say you voted for the shutdown. That's not true. There was no such thing as a vote for a shutdown. I voted for an appropriations bill that did not pass.
And
so I look forward to being able to encourage the president not to use that as a tool, because it's not an effective tool.
It's not only an ineffective tool, it hurts people. And I think our job here is not to just refer to it as unfortunate, but to acknowledge that it impacts real people.
That was Senator Margaret Hassan from New Hampshire and Congressman Mick Mulvaney. Tom, what's interesting is these two things came up time and again. Sir, let me ask you about this. Do you understand the impact? It's not just shutting down national parks. This impacts people and it has a trickle-down effect in the economy. There's one also interesting exchange between Congressman Ron Johnson, the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, Mulvaney, asking if he actually knew the real impact of the shutdown. And Mulvaney quoted saying that only about 15% of the total dollars going out of the government was impacted. So he figured that by that measure, it was not necessarily a big deal. I'm not sure how many both federal employees and contractors would agree with that, but that was an interesting look into what he thought of the shutdown.
How would you judge the overall tone of that hearing? Does it look like Mulvaney's going to get in?
It seems that he'll get in. He'll be voted to be confirmed. No one came out and said, I can't support you. I think you're awful. I think you're a bad person. I think there's a lot of concern about his budgetary, his fiscal hawkness, if you will, this idea of cutting. And the entitlements was a big push, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. How would you address that? For instance, one of the things that came up was raising the retirement age to 70 years old. Part of the Republican plan at one point was to raise the retirement age, and people wanted more information. The members wanted more information about what his thoughts about that. He was very clear to say, I will just be there to give recommendations.
Of course, that's up to Congress, not correct, to the White House.
But he said, I'll give recommendations to the president. I'm not here to tell the president what to do or what not to do. I'm just going to say, if you do this, you do that. You heard him say that earlier in our discussion, that he's there to, he's the idea man, if you will. And President Trump will make that final decision.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, thanks so much for that update.
Always a pleasure, Tom.